So this morning's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 11, and it's on page 1193 in the Church Bibles. Verse 11. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. And I want to thank you particularly that we have the privilege of having this insight into letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and what it shows us about the church, what it shows us about leadership, what it shows us about the ways in which you are at work. And we pray that you'd inspire us afresh through those words now in Jesus' name. Amen. So all through this year, we've been looking through the different elements of the statement of our becoming. And because next week, believe it or not, is the beginning of Advent, this is our last sermon on our statement of becoming. And we're thinking particularly, once again, about the theme of honour, what it means to be a community who honour one another. And more specifically today, we're looking about what it means to be a community that honours our children and young people, and the number of different ways that we can honour our children and young people as a church, but as people as well, the children and young people around us, not just here at church, but in our lives. You may have heard it said in years gone by, the famous phrase that the children are the church of tomorrow. Now, Ishmael, who was a prominent children's leader in our diocese, was heavily connected in Chichester, doing amazing things across the nation, said that that statement needed to be corrected. The children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today, but they are tomorrow's leaders. And I thought there's a lot of wisdom in that. Thankfully, we've come a long way from the days of children should be seen but not heard in church. And definitely on Tuesday mornings, that's certainly the case. If you ever come on a Tuesday morning, you will find that that's certainly not the case at St. Mark's. And it's a real joy to see children coming to church and to love coming to church, to enjoy coming to church, to look forward to coming to church. And in the passage that Paul is writing to Timothy that we just heard, now Timothy, he has sent across to lead the church in Ephesus, and it's clear that Timothy is much younger than his peers, much younger than those around him. Now, we don't know exactly how old Timothy was. We certainly don't think that he was a child or necessarily a teenager. Possible that he was in his late teens. It's thought that Paul might have first come across Timothy when he was about 14 to 16, and that this letter was written about sort of 10 years after that. And so maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, late teens, early 20s, we find Timothy here leading the church in Ephesus. And what's clear from what Paul's writing is that there was an expectation that one of the things that was likely to happen is because he was so much younger than his peers, so much younger than the people around him, that they may look down on him. They may consider him to be less than them. They may assume that he's got less experience or had less time to learn. They may confuse the difference between wisdom and knowledge, which Paul did not confuse at all, because he knew, and he makes very clear in this passage, that Timothy for his leadership, more than anything else, has a calling from God, has been equipped by God to do this work, to lead this church. And the most important thing to note, and this is to undermine something that I have heard preached from this pulpit, and probably not this pulpit, but a pulpit, and probably I preach myself. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus because he saw leadership potential in Timothy. That's not true. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus because Timothy was already a leader. Paul would not have sent anybody to lead Ephesus. He would have sent somebody he had absolute confidence in to lead that church well. Not a potential trainee, but a ready leader. And so he sends Timothy, even though he's younger than his peers, even though he's not necessarily the obvious choice because of his age. But you just take one quick glance through Scripture, and you see that this is a repeating pattern in the kingdom of God. You have David called as a young boy to be a king. And although some time passed before he actually stepped up to that position, he still wasn't old in his years when he did. You have the calling of Samuel, just a really young lad under the care of Eli. Fast forward to the New Testament, and you have Mary, of course, we'll be remembering over the next few weeks, and it's widely regarded that she would have been possibly no older than 14, 15. Then you have that beautiful passage in Mark's Gospel, one of my favorite passages that I use at every baptism, where Jesus is surrounded by children and young people, and for the disciples, the children should be neither seen nor heard, and they're trying to get them out of the way, but Jesus says, "No, let the children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And you see Jesus raising up children and young people. Then you have the very credible, I think, theology that suggests that the disciples may not have been 30-year-old men with beards, but may more likely have been teenagers. Want to know more about that? You can ask me afterwards. But I think it's a really robust and really good theology. And so you see throughout Scripture, God and Jesus honoring and raising up children and young people. And we also see it in society at the moment, don't we? When you talk about the things of the environment, who's leading the conversation? It's our children and our young people in really powerful ways. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, I was looking for an example of children taking the lead. And then last week, about 5 minutes before the service, it was one of those Sundays where we didn't have anyone to do children's work. There were no leaders around, and so I did my usual thing of printing out some activities just for kids to go and do if they wanted to go and do them, or not if they didn't. And then 5 minutes before the service, Abigail came up to me. It was just her and Chloe here, and she said, "Can I lead the session? I want to lead a session about Noah." And I flippantly went, "Yeah, go on then, that's fine." And then after the session, she told me what she'd done. She said, "So what we did is we got the Bible down from the shelf and we started looking at the story. We read the story, taking turns to read it, taking turns to read the story. And I read a bit and then Chloe read a bit. And then what we did is we got a piece of paper and we divided it into three and we put the story into our own words and we created pictures and we just imagined how we'd tell the story if we were telling the story. And then I realized I had a bit of time left. So I looked in the cupboard to see what resources were in there and I found some paper plates. So we made some little Noah's Arks and then we prayed together. And then she came out and said, 'Can I do it again next week? Because I want to lead a session about the fishermen. Because I know we've done that before, but Chloe's not heard that story before, and I want her to hear all the stories we've had.' Now, what's that if it's not leadership? Discipleship. An 8-year-old discipling and leading a 7-year-old. What an incredible thing. And why shouldn't that be happening? Why shouldn't that be happening in the church? Why shouldn't we be encouraging that? And in a way, I kind of think, well, if we were a massive church with 2 full-time employed children's workers and 2 volunteers every Sunday and a group of 25 kids, would Abigail have had that chance? I don't think she would. And we can have this tendency to think, well, we've only got a few children, so how do we honour them? Well, there's an example right there of how we can.
see the potential in them and raise that up. Encourage it. What if the next great move of God, which I believe we are on the cusp of, is going to come through our children and young people? What if the next great awakening, the next reformation, comes through them? Because I believe it can, and I genuinely believe it's going to. And we have an opportunity to honour our children and young people by saying yes and amen to what God might want to do through them. We're seeing leaders raid up on Tuesday mornings. And so I'd say that the statement that Ishmael changed could even go one stage further. The children are not the church of today and tomorrow's leaders. What's to say they can't be today's leaders? What's to say that we can't learn from them today, to hear from them today? But in order to do that, we're talking here in a way about pouring new wine into new wineskins, aren't we? Because we're going to have to rethink everything we've ever thought, believed, or known about how leadership works. The Church of England has just made an appointment over the past couple of years for somebody whose job it is to help the diocese and parishes to make children's work not a part of their mission, but their main mission. And that's only going to work if the motive is right. The motive cannot be to save the future of the church. The motive needs to be to honour our children and young people and to recognise they have a part to play in the building of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to see children and young people raised up as evangelists, as teachers, as prophets, as all the things that we want to see in our church. Why can it not happen in and with and through our children and young people? Now, it requires a rethinking. I was sharing this with a friend I have who's the head teacher of a school, and we were praying together and we were sharing this thought, and when we prayed, he said, "Lord, this is a real change in my thinking. Help me, if this is of you, to think as you are thinking." Do we believe that God could do it in this way? Now, in my years of being raised up in an evangelical church, I have been very aware of this statistic. If you want to save a family, save the dad. It is 90% more likely for the rest of the family to come to faith if the father comes to faith. But in a society of broken homes and broken families, is that still the case? Or could it be that God's going to do it through the children? I have known parents on a Tuesday morning and through baptisms to say, "I want what my daughter's got. I want what my son's got." Most of the parents who come on a Tuesday morning come because their children have said, "Are you coming to church today, Mummy and Daddy?" Why can it not happen through our children and young people? I don't think it's any coincidence that a former schools worker has been called to a parish with 5 primary schools. I don't think it's any coincidence that out of our 5 primary schools, 4 of them now have Christian head teachers. That can't be a coincidence, can it? Clearly, God is up to something in our schools and with our children and our young people. Why could God not bring revival through them? Could he? Do we believe he could? Do we honour them enough to believe he could? Do we hold them highly enough to believe he could? Now, I'm not saying do away with kids' work and let the kids do it all, because Abigail only knew how to do this because it's been modelled to her really well by the very person who's out there right now doing it. So we want to honour our leaders as well, because one of the ways we honour our children is by honouring those who teach them, by praying for our teachers in church and in schools. But we also honour our children and young people by honouring those who raise them, their parents, their grandparents, whoever cares for them. We pray for them, we honour them hugely by honouring those who care for them. But if we really want to honour our children and our young people, we need to recognise a different. This is not cute. This is the kingdom of God. When a child or a young person has a prophetic word, it is not cute. It is the kingdom of God. The most healing I have seen in my own life, in other people, has been when children and young people have gathered around someone to pray. It is not cute. It is the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So what's not to believe, or what's not to hope, or what's not to dream that revival could come through our children and young people? And do we honour them enough to give them the opportunities to be part of what God is building in his kingdom? This made me incredibly proud as a father. And I want every parent to have that opportunity to say, oh, my child did this for God today. Because it's a huge privilege. I believe that God is doing a significant thing through our children and young people. And I was thinking this and praying about it and preparing it. And just Phil on Tuesday, completely unprompted, said he was listening to something the other day, a prophetic word, and that prophetic word says the next revival is coming through our children. Let that be so. Let that be so. And not just for the sake of the future of the church, but for the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of the kingdom. I believe that we are a church who honour our children and young people. And we desire to see more of them in our doors, and we honour and we respect them. That's a beautiful thing. But I want to challenge us to ask, how can we honour the children we've got even more? You know, that passage says, never grow tired of doing good, seek to outdo one another in honour, things like that. How can we do that with our children and young people and those who teach them and lead them? And you may think, well, I'm not called to kids work, and I'm not a kids worker. You don't need to be, you don't need to be a kids worker to honour Faye or Lens or others and Jan who do our kids work. We can honour those around them, but also we can pray for our children and young people more and more and more. And then we can seek opportunities to give them chances to lead. One of the things I was struck by, and this is a bit of a challenge and I don't really know what to do with it, but when I was watching General Synod last week, as you do, I was just online watching as much of it as I possibly could. A huge debate that is to do with the future of the Church of England, a hugely significant thing. I don't think I saw anyone under the age of 40 stand up to speak in that whole time. Is change coming? And if change is coming, is that change coming through our children and young people? I sincerely hope and pray it is. And I sincerely hope and pray we get to be part of that. But also, it is about being family together. It's not just about us teaching them, but also them teaching us, and us being a whole family together, from the youngest to the oldest. We have been saying throughout the statement of becoming, we don't want anyone to discount themselves from the youngest to the oldest. We want everyone to know that we all have a part to play in building the kingdom of God. In the same way, I want other parents to have the opportunity to say, oh, my daughter or my son is a part of building the kingdom of God. I want everyone to be able to say that about themselves as well, that we are a family of God together. So it's not about our children and young people being more important than everyone else. But it's also about making sure they're not less important than everybody else. If that makes sense. And the most important thing to hold on to and to remember, if we want to honour our children and young people, is that there is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. It's not one Holy Spirit for them whilst they're learning and cutting their teeth, and then a different one for us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in Abigail when she's teaching about Noah's Ark. The same Spirit. And we honour him in them, do we not? So may we seek to be a people who honour the youngest amongst us by seeing God's potential in them, raising them up, giving them opportunities, praying for and supporting those who pray for and support them. And if it's his will that revival comes through them, may we give our yes and amen to that. And however and whenever and through whomever he chooses to do it, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.